Hey, it's JC with the top five reasons you should watch all the big games at Hooters instead of at home. Number one, our nearly world-famous wings, shaken in your favorite wing sauce. You just can't duplicate that. Two, pitchers of beer served ice-cold at your table so you don't miss any of the action. Three and four, Hooters delicious seafood and sandwiches. And number five, all the food and fun served up by the world-famous Hooters girls, of course. See you at Hooters.
Why has Bill Curry been your hometown Ford dealer for nearly 60 years? It starts with one of the industry's best lifetime warranties for new and pre-owned vehicles, enhanced by 10-year roadside assistance and free maintenance for a year. Also included are nitrogen tire fills, F-150 and Super Duty bedliners, paint and fabric protection, and more. Add an extensive inventory and concierge customer service, and it's easy to see why Bill Curry is still Tampa Bay's first family of Ford. On Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
This is the Top Right Fantasy Football Podcast. My thanks to Hooters for their third straight year. This is the fourth year of the Top Right Fantasy Football Podcast, and it's the third consecutive season that Hooters has been presenting sponsor. Of course, all three of those years, it has also been the site of the Top Right Fantasy Football Podcast draft event. We had one league in 2017, two leagues 2018, and busted out the Moneyball League to add to the previous two leagues for 2019. I'm going to try to get some of the owners back together for some form of a fantasy and or watch party at some point at another Hooters in the greater Tampa Bay area in the coming weeks. We'll have more details on that. Thank you to Hooters for their presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We also tip our hat, even if we're not even wearing one. And even if I say the word even too much, to Sean Sullivan, general manager of Bill Curry Ford, for not only being a very passionate, active participant in one of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast leagues, where he plays in the Hall of Fame Fantasy League against the Sage, Tampa Bay's Hall of Fame voter, Ira Kaufman. Sean, the GM of Bill Curry Ford, which is a supporter of JoeBucksFan.com, and also helped me out greatly a month or so ago when I needed something immediately, as we all do when something goes wrong with our vehicle. Help that I knew Sean, and I drive a Ford vehicle. So thanks, Hooters. Thanks, Bill Curry Ford. Thanks to all of you for being patient before I cranked out this first fantasy podcast of the week. I hosted Todd Wright Tour 21 on Sunday. It was our annual football-themed event, and I hosted 124 golfers, and the larger these fields get, the more rewarding it is, the more unexpected things I have to handle, and the more it just mentally wipes me the heck out. But it sounds like everybody had a good time. I thank everyone who played in Todd Wright Tour 21. To those 30-plus golfers that wanted in that I couldn't accommodate because we sold out so quickly almost 2 months ago, I hope you just get in quicker on pre-sales and otherwise for future Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments. Todd Wright Tour 22 will be a holiday-themed event Saturday, December 14th. At West Chase Golf Club, one of my home courses, where I've hosted multiple Todd Wright Tour events in the past. For any information on the golf tournaments, if you would like to play or just ask questions about them, I am very happy to answer those questions. And no, Todd Wright Tour 22 is not on sale yet. I just want you to save the date, December 14th. You can always email me golf questions at ToddWrightGolf@gmail.com. Now, because of Todd Wright Tour 21, even more so, I wasn't available to answer any emails on Sunday. As a matter of fact, it has taken me until now to catch up on fantasy news and results because the tournament takes that much out of me, and I was hosting a golf tournament rather than watching football for most of Sunday, until I could actually get home and then isolate myself to watch the latest low-scoring slugfest, just like last year, in primetime between the Saints and the Dallas Cowboys. So remember that, and I'm starting to realize, I always wanted to sort of separate those of you who listen to the podcast and email me and those who don't bother listening to the podcast and email me. It's not like I'm going to discriminate against those who don't come here, but the whole idea of me creating the back and forth on email by doing that, responding to all emails now for three seasons running, is all I ask in return is you listen to the podcast. That's it. And sometimes, based on what I say in the podcast, it can eliminate the need for an email or two. I'm not trying to get you not to write me, but those of you that listen to the podcast know I'm not available to you on Sundays. Those are my golf days, my own fantasy leagues, and just doing things personally. You can email me Monday through Saturday, and I will respond. If you email me on Sunday, I'm either not going to respond until Monday, or you'll get a brief response basically saying, sorry, can't help you today. Just to acknowledge it so it's not on my conscience. Because I have my own things that I'm doing, whether it's hosting a golf tournament, playing golf, doing things with friends, commissioning my own leagues. Just I'm not available for you last minute. Monday through Saturday, email me. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Remember, ask me a question. I know, look, I watch NFL Fantasy Live on NFL Network often when I'm working out at LA Fitness. Just for stats and other numbers I may have missed. And I know with some of these other resources that are broader in scale than me, you can simply throw out a this guy or this guy, or you say what you have four or five people, need one this. Those aren't the emails I want. I want you to offer me your opinion on a player or players, and solicit my opinion as a second opinion. I do not want to set your starting lineups. I'm simply giving you a second opinion. I'm not going to get everything right. I've had a couple of people, and fair enough, bust my balls the last 72 hours about things I got wrong. I am accountable for it. And I'm going to talk about some of those things coming up. I'm not ignoring it. And sure, when I do these podcasts or I appear on Gil Alexander's show or Drew Garabo's show, I'm going to act like I know what I'm talking about because I feel I know what I'm talking about. It doesn't mean I get something right 100% of the time. It's sports. It doesn't work that way. Ask any of the odds makers in Vegas, or even people that make their living trying to beat the book in Vegas about getting something right 100% of the time. Now, one thing that did work to my advantage this weekend was I moved some of the Vegas lines for my golf tournament. We asked every foursome in my golf tournament to pick all eight NFL games against the spread. I moved some spreads, feeling I needed to move them to create more action on the underdogs. And I was criticized prior to the games kicking off that I had done that. In the end, no foursome got all eight games right. No foursome got all seven games right. Just a couple foursomes got six games right. A few more got five games right, and that's all that was over 500, roughly a handful out of 31. The majority got either two, three, or four, and roughly it was over half got less than four, so they didn't beat my book. One team got zero. That's tough to do. Zero out of eight. And another couple of teams got one out of eight. So I did better setting lines against my foursomes trying to pick games against the spread than I did on, for example, Wayne Gallman. When I talked about how I was offered that deal in my Moneyball league and said Wayne Gallman had no fantasy value. He did last week. The yardage wasn't great, but the volume was there, and he hit pay dirt twice. And I'm looking at overall points from last week, and Gallman was basically in a standard scoring league where you fractionalize the yardage. He was worth 21.8 points. The only running backs that were worth more, McCaffrey, Eckler, Fournette, I also called him fraudulent. He went off. And there was one more. Oh, two more. Jordan Howard, where'd that come from? And Nick Chubb, who in draft season back in August kept moving up the board when we had the red flags on so many other RB1s, and Chubb paid off in a big performance for the Cleveland Browns. I'm not sure what the Gallman number means. I chose not to replace Saquon Barkley with Gallman. I'm not doing it this week. Acknowledging his 21.8 fantasy points in week four, in a game against the Redskins, looking at week five for Gallman. Let me check the game log. Minnesota, tough matchup. Then at New England, tough matchup. I know he's a popular waiver claim this week. I'm not going to, here's a term you often hear in fantasy, chase points with Gallman. I had it wrong last week. I'm not sure the encore edition this week. The volume will probably be there. However, the result, I don't know, achieves the same number. Now, as far as Fournette, let me acknowledge a couple other things where you might have said, well, Todd said it this way and he was wrong. I'm starting to understand Minshew mania a little bit. Not only has he now remember when I said this, they hadn't won a game. Now they have. And despite signing Foles and paying Foles a lot of money, they did draft Minshew. And Minshew at least looks like he knows what he's doing in this league. Now, we talked about last week how Chalk was a player worth rostering and had a good thing going with Minshew. Well, clearly, Minshew is doing enough vertically to create opportunities for Leonard Fournette. 29 carries, 225 yards in the Jaguars' win against the Broncos. Also caught two balls for 20 yards. Fournette and his volume the first four games, 17, 19, 21, 31 touches. Just quoting Roto-World, fire up the focal point of the Jaguars offense as a low-end RB1 for next week's matchup against the Panthers, and that's also because the Panthers' pass defense is very, very tough. So it would make sense that the Jags would want to attack Carolina on the ground rather than try to have Minshew do it through the air. So for Fournette owners, it's paying off and it's trending in the right direction. It helps that the Jags have won a couple of games to keep this team interested. And Jalen Ramsey continues to be part of the team, whether he likes it or not. Things keep coming up, but this hasn't gotten to Antonio Brown levels, where it's too big of a distraction and something, we mean Brown with the Raiders rather than Brown in the one game that he had with the New England Patriots. Now let's get to Jordan Howard. In the Thursday night game against a good defense in the Packers, Howard, 15 rushes, 87 yards, two touchdowns, also three receptions, 28 additional yards. Well, Doug Peterson and the Eagles offensive coaching staff may have just made a decision very early on in that Packer game where they were not only going to go hot hand with various options at running back. Let's remember they have more than just that, the two we mentioned. But perhaps they're tired of Sanders being tentative in the backfield. He's just a rookie. He was one of the more popular rookies in fantasy at the running back position in draft season, right there with Singletary and also with Montgomery. And it hasn't worked. Whether you are a fantasy owner of Miles Sanders or an Eagles fan, you have been wondering when he was going to break out. It hasn't happened. And Jordan Howard is a veteran player, now on his second team with the Eagles after the Bears moved him in the offseason. I owned Jordan Howard a couple of years ago. Jordan Howard won me a couple of key games in a league. What I found with Jordan Howard was, you already know that Nagy didn't like that he couldn't use him as a pass-catching threat because he certainly wasn't going to be as good as Tariq Cohen anyway in that department. But also, Howard was just inconsistent from one game to the next. He'd have a solid game, and then it was sort of tough to game plan it for the next game because he just wasn't there. Keep an eye on this going forward, but Howard is someone that, relative to whatever my situation is at the running back position, I am looking for availability on waivers this week with Howard, based on what he did against the quality defense in the Packers. And there's more to go on that Howard can have more games like this than Gallman can have games like this, but both very productive last week. And yeah, I wish Fournette was on waivers. He's not anywhere, nor should he be. Chubb's game, of course, was number one for all players in standard scoring leagues with over 36 points in the Browns' romp over the Ravens, who have shown some defensive liabilities the last couple of games. The Godwin game-time decision that we talked about late last week, which was so difficult to plan because it was a late afternoon game. Those of you that took the risk that Godwin would go, it paid off big. And honestly, for those of you that owned Evans and took the risk that Godwin might not play, so more balls would go to Evans, sure, Godwin had a big game, but Evans also had a big play. And you always want offensive pieces from a 55-point outing for any team, so it paid off with Mike Evans for the second week in a row. I would also imagine that Jameis Winston, if he isn't already on rosters, is also a popular claim this week, especially with a couple of teams hitting bye week again in week four. And what was another quarterback situation that Josh Allen going down, Trubisky going down. I would imagine Winston is rostered in over 50% of leagues, but if he's not, I understand him being a popular play this week with the Bucs off a 55-point game and Winston's numbers being good to very good from a fantasy standpoint the last few weeks. Although there was a pick six in there against the Rams, but not like his double pick six game to open the season against the 49ers. Let me see what else stood out about some of the bigger performers in fantasy leagues. I mean, again, if you're playing in a league with a DST, getting that right DST paying off in some of these games. I mean, New England-Buffalo was a competitive game. This wasn't a mismatch, but New England still was able to put up a lot of DST points, as were the Giants in the game against the Washington Redskins, where Dwayne Haskins debuted, and there was one other DST Pittsburgh with, what was it, 8 sacks of Andy Dalton in the latest bow wow of a game on Monday night, other than the opening Monday night game of the doubleheader. It has been 4 shit Monday night games in a row. The only reason, and it's funny how fantasy works, tell a personal story. So in my Moneyball league, I hate someone uses the term being in the barn. Golf term is being in the clubhouse. You know what I'm talking about, where your fantasy team is done by Monday morning. You're done. You know your final number, but your opponent still has a player or two going in the Monday night game. There's not a damn thing you can do. It almost ruins you watching the game because you're just watching, hoping your opponent's guys don't do well. Now, if your opponent has already got you by a bunch, it doesn't matter, right? Very rarely are they going to back up enough. There's even an option in some leagues where you can have, you know, no finishing negative points. But if you say have, well, I'll give you 2 examples. So in my Moneyball league, I was up about 20 on Matt from Better Bird of the Chichio Restaurant Group going into Monday night, and he had Juju. Then in my Foundation league, that's my personal league with my friends, I was up roughly, I think, about 2.7 points over assistant golf professional at Countryside Country Club, BD Benny, and he had Juju. So I was just looking at it as, all right, I hope I win in the Moneyball League and that having that 20-point edge over Juju is enough, but I'm not going to beat Ben. In the end, I won both because Juju, I think, had 15 yards. And again, most of you know I'm anti-PPR. In a PPR league, I would have lost. But why should Juju get – Juju had, what, 15 yards, right? Why should he get – so that's 1.5 points. Why should he get 3 times the points just because he caught 3 balls and did nothing with them? You already were rewarded with the points. This is another example why PPR doesn't reflect what's really happening in the game. Juju had drew the defensive attention, and I was talking about this with another owner in the Foundation League earlier today, Joey DePompo, another golf professional. These are the company I keep. And Joey just said, yeah, Juju can't be a number one. I said, well, I'm not convinced of that yet, although there are a lot of wide receiver twos on their teams that struggle to become wide receiver ones if they leave via free agency. Alvin Harper was always a great example of that when he left Dallas, took money to come to Tampa Bay, was never the same, and there have been others. But, you know, Juju thrived opposite Antonio Brown and with Ben Roethlisberger. And when an unknown commodity named James Conner was putting together a massive first half of last season, now Juju, okay, so Le'Veon Bell never came back. Connor doesn't look the same. He had a better game against Cincinnati. Mike Tomlin admitting what he did was fluky with the Wildcat, but said we got to do what we got to do to win, which they did, although they won it with defense. And a rookie quarterback, Juju is now the focus of opposing defenses. And not only is he struggling with that, but he's got a rookie quarterback trying to find him. So if you're a Juju owner, you're not getting the wide receiver one value you expected, but you kind of knew this when Ben went down. We didn't throw red flags at Juju in draft season. We did when Ben ultimately went down for the season. And it's going to be a struggle for Juju going forward, where I think at this point on a week-to-week basis, you if you have other options, you can consider them, and Juju might not be a must-start every week until further notice. If you have other options at wide receiver 1-2 or flex, might be worth considering, because I have no business winning a fantasy game against BD Benny in the Foundation League, where all he needs is, what, 2.7 points, and he's got a guy drafted as a wide receiver one, and he can't even get that in a game against the Bengals. You've been on the other end of this, though, where you've needed a guy to just do get you 2 or 3 points, and he doesn't get those points. So it works both ways. It happened to work in my favor to win both in my Moneyball League, where I'm now 2-2. I'll take it. For those of you that don't know, the Moneyball League was a league created based on the movie Moneyball, based on Billy Beane, played by Brad Pitt, not having the resources to have big-time players. I drafted first overall in the Moneyball League and then sat out the rest of the draft. The other seven owners drafted at 13 rounds and then handed me the draft board, left Hooters, and over the next 3 days, I assembled my team from what was left. And I work waivers and trades and do what I can. And one other thing that I did in the Moneyball League that actually worked out this week, it was more out of necessity because obviously I lost Barkley and didn't pick up Gallman. My mistake. Maybe I'm making the mistake again this week by not offering John something for Gallman. He's probably just going to play him. I wouldn't blame him. I played both Chiefs running backs. I played them both. Instead of making a decision between Darrell Williams and McCoy, I'm like, well, Barkley's out. I'm not going to play Burkhead because Burkhead's banged up. Screw it. I'll put both Chiefs running backs in against Detroit. And it worked. Go figure. So it was just because I had the roster spot and there wasn't really anyone else that I thought I could plug and play off waivers. I didn't, and in one of my leagues, I didn't even want to play Cortland Sutton this past week. I ended up keeping him in there by default, and he did well. Cortland Sutton's getting between 6 and 8 targets a game, even though the Broncos stink, and people will point to their close games and say, well, they're close games. The more close games you lose, the more close games you're going to lose. It works the opposite for good teams. The more close games the Patriots and the Chiefs win, the more close games the Patriots and the Chiefs are going to win. The Broncos brought in the defensive wizard of the Bears. The Bears are fine defensively without him. And the Broncos were the only team without a sack the first 3 weeks. And now Bradley Chubb's done for the year. So, sorry, getting off on a tangent. Those things will be in the Todd Wright Toddcast. All right. So there are some fantasy thoughts from this past weekend where I missed on a number of things, but many overall called it a weird week in the NFL, whether you looked at the Bucs hanging 55 in LA on the Rams to start their 5-game in 6-week trip away from Raymond James Stadium, or Wayne Gallman and Jordan Howard and Leonard Fournette putting up huge fantasy points. There was one other fantasy oddity. I'm trying to find it now. Jacoby Brissett's fantasy numbers continue to be legit, and it turned out Matt Stafford did play, and Kenny Galladay, the name that was escaping me last year when it came up. Now, the Lions are one of the teams on a bye coming up this week, 5 for 67 and 2 touchdowns on 9 targets, albeit in the Lions' loss to Kansas City. All right, think I covered enough for this podcast. Thank you for listening. Subscribe to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Subscribe to the Todd Wright Toddcast for non-fantasy info. And remember, you can email me Monday through Saturday every week. Sundays are my own. Monday through Saturday, email me at ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Thanks to everyone that played in and all the businesses and golf properties that supported Todd Wright Tour 21, extremely successful golf tournament at the Eagles Golf Club on Sunday. It has been a very busy 72, 96 hours for me. Thanks for being patient in getting this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. I will talk to you again next time.